All right, good morning. It is 7:41 here on the Mighty 690, and it is time for our monthly chat with Independence Police Chief Jerry Harrison, who joins us on the phone. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Doing great, James. How are you?
Hey, doing well. It's good to have you on here, and good to talk as we cruise on into September. I know this month always seems to go fast, I know you have a really interesting topic here that you wanted to talk about today, as we want to kind of highlight a little bit of what emergency management dispatch is all about.
Yeah, James, thought I'd throw our dispatch team a bone. They're the thin gold line that connects people in emergencies to the first responders that can help them, and they're in that dispatch center. They're not out forward facing to the public, and so they oftentimes kind of get overlooked in the rush of life. But, I'd like to recognize them this week and talk about emergency medical dispatch.
Absolutely. So what does that actually mean? I mean, it's something that, we think about when we're, people familiar with calling 911, but they may not be familiar that there's actually like kind of a whole process with this.
There is a process, and the purpose of it is, the purpose of EMD is to give callers what we call pre-arrival care instructions, or essentially they're providing a level of medical care before the ambulance gets there, before the EMTs and paramedics get there. And so to do that, we have a computerized set of instructions that allow dispatchers to coach callers through that emergency care.
Gotcha. So, that definitely makes sense. You know, sounds like kind of, a flow chart almost in some of that. And what might be some examples there of, what the instructions might be to those callers?
Well, the easiest one to talk about is CPR. A lot of folks have gone through the Red Cross CPR training so they can kind of understand this, but you don't just roll up on somebody and start giving them CPR. You need to know when. And so our dispatchers can coach you through when to determine if you need to perform CPR. And then they actually walk you through the steps of performing CPR. And we actually have an award-winning dispatch center. We've had some dispatchers over the years get life-saving awards for providing those instructions to people. The CPR... first aid, like bleeding, how to stop, how to apply pressure and stop bleeding, or, if they meet the standard or meet the criteria for what could be a heart attack, then the dispatcher can, tell them, go give them an aspirin or something of that nature. So these standards are internationally recognized, and it allows the dispatchers to keep providing consistent medical care to every caller. They do ask a lot of questions, and so that kind of frustrates callers sometimes as they think they need to get the EMS folks there. But we need you to answer those questions, because if it's a life-threatening situation, time matters, and we can help. Through coaching the caller, we can reduce the time in which that patient is waiting to receive medical care. So. That's the purpose behind those questions. And, sometimes the caller feels like there's a delay in dispatching the folks to them, but there's not. You can't hear that when you're on the radio with our dispatcher. That dispatcher will key up, or when you're on the phone, rather, that dispatcher will key up, and you won't hear the radio traffic because our system cuts that radio traffic out. But the dispatcher is still on the line with you, and so while they're giving you instructions, they're also talking on the radio and getting the help rolling your way.
Well, that's helpful to know, because obviously, and thankfully, we don't call 911 every day. So, someone who might not have called before may be a little bit unfamiliar with what it's going to sound like on the phone call end. So, a question that I have, why do they ask so many questions? Why don't they just, send an ambulance as soon as the person asks?
Well, the first reason is to try to assess that medical emergency so that the ambulance crews know what items to bring and what what items to prepare as they're rolling to the scene, and then also so the dispatcher knows where to go to get the proper instructions for that particular medical emergency. You know, you can't cover every medical emergency that could possibly occur in the history of humanity, but you would be amazed at the tremendous number of medical treatments that our dispatchers have available to coach the callers through. And so they're trying to speed up care by allowing that caller to become immediate care for the patient.
Sure, gotcha on that. So where do these actual instructions that they have come from? You know, like, how was this developed?
Well, it was developed by folks in the medical service, of course, and they realized that there was a need, and they thought they could make a difference, and so they started working on it, and now there's several providers out there. We use the Academy of Emergency Medical Dispatch, and, you know, these calls are approved by our local directors. So we have a medical doctor that is the medical director for our EMS service. We have a paramedic that's also over our EMS service that works with that doctor. And, of course, our fire chief. And the three of them work with our dispatch center to help us craft some nuance into our procedures so that it best serves the needs of Independence. Not, you know, every community is a little bit different, and every community has different needs, and our community definitely has different needs from, say, someone in a, you know, Wichita or Tulsa. And so we work very closely with everyone in the system to try to build that system to best serve the citizens of Independence and the folks in Montgomery County that our dispatch is responsible to serve.
Well, absolutely. So, you know, as far as the training goes, you know, we think about the different training that might be required for any job, and I know this is no exception.
So our dispatchers and police officers are all required to have CPR and first aid training every 2 years through the Red Cross. That's actually, our city manager has required that for many years now for all city employees because, you know, you never know who could be somewhere, and the more people that are trained to perform CPR, the better opportunities we have to make a difference for our community. But we also, the dispatchers, once they get their CPR certification, then they go to a 3-day course for emergency medical dispatch, and they have to, and that course teaches them how to use the software that guides them through the coaching process for the caller.
So as far as, you know, I'm sure that I know you record the calls and that sort of thing, and probably do you listen back to those as part of, you know, more training, kind of concurrent training for those dispatchers?
Yes, we call that process Pro-QA or Q, and that's a quality assurance process that we do, and we score our calls that way. And then, you know, it's a part of the evaluation process for the employee and helps them, you know, whenever it comes time for evaluations, it helps them to improve and grow and get credit for the excellent service they provide. And you know, so, you know, all of us, I'm a big proponent of ongoing training and being a student of your profession, and this system is designed to roll along with that philosophy. So I'm really impressed with how that part of the system is designed.
No, that is good, and it's always good to keep improving and making the system better. And if this is something that, you know, might appeal to folks listening out there today, are you currently hiring for any dispatchers or anything else in the police department?
We are, yeah. We've got openings for dispatchers. We've got openings for police officers. And, you know, if you're somebody that wants to be a part of something that makes a difference in your community, or, you know, there's even some folks out there that think that, you know, police aren't serving their community in the proper way, well, come on down and see us, because you can be a part of that. You know, you can be a part of making positive change in the criminal justice system. And we would love to visit with you and see if you've got the goods to serve our community. But anybody that's interested in being a police officer or a dispatcher here at Independence, You don't have to have any training, education, or experience. We provide all that to you, and we will pay you as a full-time employee while you're going through those training events.
Well, that is really great, and what a great opportunity. I know, especially for folks who maybe have some various handicaps. I mean, I know a guy who has a cerebral palsy, and he's really specialized over the years and had different jobs in doing security camera work and also the police and, you know, EMS dispatching, because, you know, it's a job that would work for him in his, he's just looking at his different abilities, and, you know, that particularly worked out well for him. So, you know, I know that there's a job for everyone out there, and this might be something that, you know, depending on people's dispositions and that sort of thing, can definitely be a job that, you know, you're definitely making some good in the community.
Yeah, definitely, and we'll make reasonable accommodations under ADA for folks to come work with us. I've worked with people that had similar situations as you describe in my career, and you know, don't count yourself out. If it's something you're interested in, come see us and see what we can do.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great reminder there, and so I hope folks can reach out if they are interested in a career with the police department and in EMS and all that sort of thing. So, and then, of course, it wouldn't be a Thursday with Jerry Harrison if we didn't talk a few crime prevention tips here.
Oh, we've always got to cover those, James, but I'll keep it quick because I know we got things going. But, you know, just a reminder for everybody to keep their car windows up, their house windows down, and lock every door you own and lock up your bikes. And, you know, just make a minor investment to protect those major investments. Our crime rates have plummeted in 2022, and we need the community's help, continued help, to keep that change, to keep driving crime down in our community, because you know, the real success of our police department isn't how many people we throw in jail. The real success of our police department and our community is how many fewer victims that we need to help. So let's all reduce crime. Let's all do our part.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate all the work that you and your staff are doing. And, you know, I drove by the City Hall there in Independence for the first time there on that, you know, kind of side street. And definitely the building is looking nice. And that is just really cool to see all that taking shape.
Yeah, it's very nice. We're very grateful to have it. We're having some moving in growing pains, but we're going to get through it. And I think we're going to have an open house coming up. So everybody stay tuned for that, and come see us. Come see our new City Hall. And I know that we've been there a week now, I think, or close to it. And I've really enjoyed being back downtown and being able to walk downtown to the barber or to grab a bite to eat or go to meetings. And it's really great to be back in our home.
That is really, really cool. So I'd definitely be interested in that open house here coming up. So I will I'll stay tuned on that. So, all right. Well, Independence Police Chief Jerry Harrison, thank you, sir, so much for joining us. And we look forward to chatting again here next time.
Thank you, James. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. You too. That is Independence Police Chief Jerry Harrison here on the Mighty 690. And we get to talk with him each and every second Thursday of the month at 7:40 here on the Mighty 690. Keep it here. We got lots to come, including our chat with the folks from the Back to Bartlesville Flying. We have Kevin Connor on the way. That'll be at 8:10. So look forward to that. And then also Coffeyville's Reawakening update from Denise York at 8:40 on the way. Open line will get started at 9:10 here on the Mighty 690.